how many New Year's resolutions have already been broken. I must admit, I had an extra cookie last night. I did some research this week, and I came up with the top 10 list of New Year's resolutions. And here's what I thought we'd do. I thought we should play a little bit of a game. In your bulletin, you'll notice that there is a sheet of paper, and it has a top 10 list on it. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to look at that list, and I want you to think of the top 10 New Year's resolutions, and I want you to try and put them in order. Write down what you think is the top, which is number one, all the way down to number 10.
So this is like that quiz game where we've got to guess what the audience...
Yes, pretty much. So this is what we're going to do, right? If you get a New Year's resolution right, so say to wear my shoes on my right feet is a New Year's resolution. Yep, and you put it in at number 2, but it comes in number 4, you get 10 points. If you get it in the right spot, you get 50 points. And if you have a vowel in your name, you get a bonus 5 points to start with. No, you just get a bonus 5. Not 5 for every vowel, just 5. All right, so I'll give you some time to think about that. If you need a pen, I believe they're being passed around. You can consult with other people. What do you reckon? No Googling the answers. Make sure she doesn't Google. But if you don't want to Google, go to statisticbrain.com. That's where I got this list from. What do you reckon? How are you going? It's hard. You got to try and come up with 10. Yeah. I'm still keeping my New Year's resolution from 1998, not to make New Year's resolutions next year. I'm doing well. Yes. They're all New Year's resolutions. Oh, if you reckon you have an 11th one, you're not sure if it's kind of like, if you can come up with 11, you get a bonus answer. So you get an extra chance, more points. I'm a generous God. You know, I'm nice to people. I'll give you more chances to score points. No, you're like, stick to the rules, Daryl. You can't even think of 10, can you? You've compiled your list. Died down 10 times. All right, how's everyone going? Has everyone filled in their 10 lists? Does anyone need some more time? I feel like I should be... Oh, Greg Daniel, he likes to dance, doesn't he? That's what I need to do. I'm not as short as Grant Denyer, though. All right. How are we going? Oh, not yet. Okay. All right. I like some approaches here. Some people are taking it super serious. Others have just written down the first 10 things that come to mind. How are we going? We good, Ray?
Yeah, everyone.
Yep, everyone's good. All right. Let me remind you of the scoring system. If you get the New Year's resolution right on your sheet, you get 10 points. Yes? If you get it in the right spot, you get 50 points. And if you have a vowel in your name, you get 5 points. Not a vowel, like 5 points for every vowel, just 5 points. So that way, all of you are at least going to get 5 points. All right. Oh, I didn't tell you, the winner gets a prize. All right. So, here we are, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, Brad, I need a drum roll. All right. Number 10. Are you ready? The top 10 New Year's resolutions are, number 10, spend more time with family. Who has that on the list? Did you have it in number 10? Oh, no. All right. Number 9, fall in love. Yeah.
Find a better spouse.
I'm a little worried over here that Barbara's gone fall in love. Okay. Number 8, help others in their dreams and goals. Did anyone have that one?
Be a better person.
All right. Number 7, quit smoking. Quit smoking. Number 6, learn something exciting / new. How are we going? Has anyone got any in the right spot yet? No. No. I reckon number 1, you should all get in the right spot. I just have a feeling. Number 5, stay fit and healthy. That's staying fit and healthy. That's not getting fit, that is staying fit. All right. Number 4, enjoy life to the fullest. Anyone enjoy life to the fullest?
Yep.
You're just writing them as we go, right? Number 3, spend less, save more.
50.
Yes. Well, that's... That's spend less, save more, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. Or in Ryan language, get richer. Number 2, get organized. I think that should read, get Daryl more organized. Number 1, are you ready?
Lose weight.
Did anyone not get number 1 right? Anyone not get number 1 right? What did you say is number 1? Spend more time with family. I like it. So, quickly, add up your score. If you've got one of them, you get 10 points. If you got it in the right spot, you get 50, and you get a bonus 5 points. All right, have you added them up? All right. Who got 5 points? Anyone just get 5 points? No, that's good to see. 15 points. Oh, okay. 25, 25, 25, 30, 35, 35, 35, 45, 55, 65, 75, 85. 95, 105, oh, anything higher than 105, 115, sorry, 100, no, 110, 1, oh, right. I promised you the prize, so here it is, a high five. I never said it was a good prize, people. So, how did you go? Was it fun? How many of you have made one of those New Year's resolutions for this year? Yep. Most people around the world make these promises. And maybe a month or two in, they all fall off the wagon. They say that the worst time to go to the gym is in January because that's when everyone's there, but the best time is in December because nobody's there. So maybe we should flip it upside down. So I was reading, that's the top 10 list, and I turned to Time magazine and they have given me the top 10 list of New Year's resolutions that are broken. And it's a completely different list. So let me quickly give it to you. The first one actually is true. Lose weight and get fit. That is the most commonly broken New Year's resolution there is. Same with quit smoking, learning something new, eating healthier and dieting, getting out of debt and saving money, spending more time with family. This is the really only different one. Travel to new places. If you make that New Year's resolution, chances are you're not going to keep it. Be less stressed. I think if you make a New Year's resolution saying be less stressed, you're going to be stressed out trying to keep that list. Volunteer and drink less. I'm assuming that's alcoholic drinks, not standard water. Yes. So I'm sitting there and I'm going, why do people promise themselves that they're going to do these things, but yet fail to see it through? And I actually started to think about, I wonder if it has a lot to do with worry. I mean, it's pretty intimidating to walk into a gym when you're really overweight and see all the muscle-bound hunks, you know, maybe it's just me, you know, doing 100 reps with like a lot of weight. Maybe it's, I don't want to diet because I'm worried if I do all this work that I won't lose anything. You know, after all, I am big boned. I worry about how much I stress, and I start to worry about how can I stress less? So it has the reverse effect. I worry that if I travel to some place new, I won't like it or something bad will happen. In today's Bible reading, we find Jesus presenting evidence that worry goes against God. It's bad against God. I'm not even going to try and say that word today. For it fails to believe that God is in control. God who gives us life and who is sustaining it. Worry is irrelevant. Because it does not change things nor help us cope with problem. And worry is irresponsible. It burns up energy that should be used constructively to address the problems. I love how Jesus uses the birds of the air to illustrate freedom from anxiety. The lilies of the field to illustrate freedom from status seeking. And the grass of the field to illustrate our need to assess our priorities. And the point that he is trying to make, we cannot add anything to our lives by worrying. Actually, it limits us. So why do we worry? A reporter was covering a natural disaster in a small town. And he had his byline in his newspaper article, God looked down at grief today in this little West Virginian town and wept. The newspaper editor emailed him back, forget the disaster, go and interview God. I think what the point was is getting to know God in a personal way should be everyone's greatest priority. After all, if we're planning on spending eternity with him, then it seems like a good idea to get acquainted with him now, right? Does that make sense? If you're going to be stuck with God forever, you sort of want to know his, like, I want to say his bad habits, but like, you get what I mean. You want to get to know him. You want to understand how he thinks. And after 2016, after all the disasters that were there, One commentator suggests that spending eternity with God may be sooner than we think. It may be sooner than we think we will meet him face to face. Understanding how quickly life goes by and how long eternity is should teach us right here, right now, to have the right priorities. James 4:14 puts it this way: we are here today and gone tomorrow. We must have our priorities right in order to take full advantage of life and 2017. So what are your priorities in life? What are your priorities for any given day? So in Matthew's passage today, Jesus' lesson is found in verse 33. The whole crux of it is this: but seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek first reveals Jesus' concern for the priorities of our lives. He commands that our priority be his kingdom and his righteousness. It's fairly easy to be a really good Christian in church. It's more difficult to live out faith in our homes and in our marketplaces and the places where we earn a wage. God wants us to represent him everywhere, to be Christians everywhere, to be good Christians at that, to be the light in a world. Truth is, it isn't easy. But he gives us the help we need if only we are willing to accept it. So I want to quickly want to walk through 6 points that I think come out of this passage today that can help us seek first his kingdom. So I want to look at this. The first one is this: our focus. We understand that there are 3 major priorities we need in life, right? Do you know what those 3 major priorities are for life? This is a question and answer. Yep, so food,
shelter.
Well, I put that under food. Clothing. Oh, you're really good at picking up my subtle hints, Cheryl. Shelter, clothing, and food. These things loom large in importance. Do you know they reckon we spend at least half of our waking hours involved in these 3 things? Half of our life is dedicated to shelter, clothing, and food. We're prone to focus on them. We are. But we go beyond that. We go beyond the basic necessities and we focus our attention on things that are the latest and the greatest. We can be just like everyone else in the world. Jesus in this passage is trying to get to this: that those who personally know God, that those who understand his loving kindness, his faithfulness, should not live with the same anxiety as those in the world. We know that our happiness isn't based on the latest gadget in our pocket, the latest toy. Here's a great example of this. So over Christmas, we had our nephews over, and they got drones. Now, you know what drones are, right? They fly in the air and go... So they're playing with their drones, and I want one now. Do you know what? I never had a drone before in my life, but as soon as they had one, I want one. And do you know what? I've started looking in shops for them. I've become obsessed with getting myself a drone. And I know what's going to happen as soon as I get a drone. Do you know what's going to happen? I'm going to play with it for 5 minutes, put it on a shelf, and it's going to gather dust. But I'm caught in that mindset, aren't I? The latest and the greatest. The latest and the greatest. My happiness shouldn't be based in getting a drone, as much as I try and convince Barbara that it is. My happiness should be based in something that is real and tangible. Something that God has seen in me. My relationship with the Creator. The next point that comes out of this is our choices. Jesus indicates that there are two priority options or directions that we can focus on in our lives. We can go after and be occupied by things as our goal, or we can seek first His kingdom and His righteousness as our reason for living. We genuinely live our life with this sort of us first mentality. Have you ever caught yourself being, I'm more important? We spent a couple of days visiting Barbara's family in Orange, where I grew up. And I caught myself walking down the main street with a little sense of arrogance, like, ha, I got out of this town, people. Look at you, you're stuck here. It's a step up from Orange. Orange has came up. Do you know Orange is in the Guinness Book of Records? It is, for being the only above ground hole. Oh, no, this is being recorded, isn't it? Can we edit that out, please? Seriously, Orange, I love you. Can't be edited, oh well. But I found myself walking around with this sense of arrogance, like I was better than everyone else around me. I don't know why, but I just found myself doing this. I stand in line and someone cuts me off and I go, wait a second, I'm more important. As a result, I have a feeling that we go after the material things that loom large in life. Because I put myself at the center of everything, so often the spiritual things sort of move aside. How can God be at the center of my life when I constantly thrust myself there? I wonder if a majority of people in churches somehow expect that spiritual things in their lives, the things of God, will just sort of take care of themselves. They don't really need to think about it. So what are our choices? Like, what are we choosing? We're choosing to be occupied with going after things or seeking God's kingdom. The third thing that comes out of this passage is a question of what are our goals. Like the world, we can go after these things. We can choose to place the priority for our energies and our efforts into providing for ourselves. We can make our primary concern for the physical necessities of life, such as housing, food, and clothing. If we simply make these things the goals for our life, they'll move in that direction and they'll constantly go forward into the material and the earthly. But if we rearrange our goals, if we put our goal first as God's kingdom, then things change. We take the spiritual things more seriously. We understand that it's not going to happen magically, but we can be signposts of God's coming kingdom. If we put our focus as God's kingdom, it recognizes and promotes in our life His rule and reign. To seek His kingdom is to seek His rule, to understand His will, to want to be in a place under His authority. Seeking God's kingdom is losing ourselves in obedience to the Lord to the best extent that we can. To seek first the kingdom of God is to pour out our lives into the eternal work of our Heavenly Father. But it's not just about seeking His kingdom. We're also encouraged to seek His righteousness. Righteousness which is in accord with His character. All that Christ-likeness. Instead of longing after the things of the world, we are to hunger and to thirst for the things of the world that is to come. Things that are to come. It's to have Jesus' own truth, love, and righteousness manifest in our lives, to seek peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. To seek righteousness is to seek to win people to God's kingdom, to encourage them that they could know God, that His love is enough for them as well as us. In 2 Peter 12, Peter writes this: since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hastening the coming day of God. What Peter is trying to say here is our focus should be on the coming kingdom of God, the things that will not pass away. Seek God instead of seeking things. The spiritual as opposed to the material. The eternal instead of the earthly. So it comes down to this. The fourth thing that I want to draw out of this passage, our priorities. I want to start here by saying, let me tell you what this verse does not teach. It does not teach that having or pursuing things is wrong. It's not wrong to be concerned with what you're going to eat tonight. It simply says we shouldn't spend all of our time and energy in pursuing those things. And there's a difference between concern and focus, obsession and anxiety, or anxiety I should say, between our first priorities and our responsibilities. Jesus says seek first. Not only seek. Seek first the kingdom of God. Not only seek the kingdom of God. God expects us to work and to live while centering our lives around Him and His kingdom. To be His signpost in our work and in our lives. What Jesus is trying to encourage us here is to clearly establish our priorities. Our first priority should be follow Christ. Jesus says, focus your attention on that. Hope on the things that God, the Lord, will give you. If you're going to be consumed by anything, don't be consumed by drones that you're going to play with for 5 minutes, but be consumed with the kingdom of God. So it asks us, where are our priorities? 5, it talks about obtaining our priorities. Did you know there's apparently two ways of getting things? Asking and chucking a temper tantrum isn't the two. You can make them the thing that you desire, the object of your life, your struggle for them, especially if they are things. We can be just like the world. Or, as Jesus says here, if you seek God's kingdom first, they will be added unto you. They will be added to you. Our caring, good, protective God will always add what we need to our lives. The passage calls for us to seek first His kingdom and leave the secondary matters to His providential care. If God's priorities become our priorities, He will take care of our needs. His daily support is promised to us. But notice that it is a conditional promise. A conditional promise. If you do this, I'll do that. First, seek the kingdom of God. Then everything else will fall into place. Rather than being like the people of the world, the pagans who are simply concerned with their physical needs, rather than seeking and worrying about food and shelter and clothing like unbelievers do, Jesus says, focus your attention and your hope on the things of the Lord. And He will take care of your needs. The Lord's disciples should be concerned about the very things of God, His kingdom and His righteousness. Then everything else will be supplied in God's timing. This is the life of daily faith. The sixth point is about how we operate or how we have our daily lives. This is the hardest one because it takes a certain amount of spiritually wise wisdom to really grasp it. But it's this. We must not or should not expect God's blessing when He is not first in our lives. If the first priority in your daily life is not God's kingdom and righteousness, it may explain some unproductive living and giving. But concentrating on doing God's will is a positive answer to worry. Anxiety is resolved by a lifestyle seeking God's kingdom because you know He cares. Anxiety is resolved by a lifestyle of seeking God's kingdom and righteousness first each day. I read a quote by a Christian rapper. His name is Lecrae. And he put down this: every day I must die. I must die to people's opinion of me. I must die to the accolations of applause. I must die so Christ can live. Don't expect God to spiritually or eternally bless us if we do not put Him first. It means that decisions in life must be weighed. Am I really putting God first here? Your daily life and decisions are meant to give priority to God's kingdom and righteousness. We must give God sovereignty over our daily lives. This is the real issue here. God must have sovereignty in our lives. We will walk and live by faith in Christ, or we will walk by the sight and the wisdom of nature and of man. Do you want to follow Jesus as Lord? Or do you want comfort, protection, and the fire insurance? So here's the point. there are two simple rules that should govern our lives. Set your eyes on advancing God's kingdom and contributing to the establishment of His righteousness, and go after them. Allow the Heavenly Father to keep His promises concerning the rest of your life. Seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will fall into place. That's His promise. Because you always have time for the things that you put first. Your first priority is what you always make time for. There comes a story of a preacher who went to visit one of the deacons in his church. This deacon's name was James L. Craft. Yes, that Craft, the founder of Craft Cheeses, the best cheeses in the world, next to Hunter Bell. Okay? Gotta promote local. Not only was he a deacon, but he was the superintendent of their Sunday school. And Craft was relating to this young preacher a story. And he said that as a young man, I desired to be the most famous manufacturer and salesman of cheese in the world. He planned from the beginning to become famous and rich by making and selling cheese. And as a young fellow, he set out on his goal with a little buggy and a pony called Paddy. After making his cheese, this young youth would load his wagon, and he and Paddy would drive down the streets of Chicago to sell his cheese. After months had passed, young Craft began to despair because he wasn't making, well, any money. In spite of long hours and hard work. One day he pulled to a stop with his pony and began to talk to him. And he said, you know what, Paddy? Sounds like an Irish joke, doesn't it? Hey, Paddy. No, Paddy, there is something seriously wrong. We're not doing it right. I'm afraid I think I have things turned around. Our priorities are not where they should be. Maybe we ought to serve God and place Him first in our lives. Craft then drove home and made a covenant for the rest of his life that he would seek and serve God first. And then he would work as God directed him. Many years after this, when he's sitting down with his young preacher over a meal, James Craft said, I would rather be a layman in North Shore Baptist Church, my church, than the head of the greatest corporation in America. My first job is serving Jesus. So how about you? What are your priorities right now? What's the first priority of your day? Not to yell at the kids? Get a cup of coffee? What about 2017? What's your priorities for this year? Have you made a New Year's resolution at the beginning of the year to know God more? My question will be, what about you? In 2 months' time, will you have fallen off the wagon? Will you forget that you made that promise? Or will 2017 be the year where we all rearrange our lives to focus more on the kingdom of God? To focus our time and attention on His righteousness? That's the question that's before us. Where are our priorities? What are we focusing on? Beginning of this year, we looked at New Year, New Attitude. Today it's New Year, New Me. I want to encourage you, my friends, that while it's hard work, it is a worthy pursuit. Seek first the kingdom of God. Let us pray. Father, we want to come before you and acknowledge that we often get caught up in the same problems of the world. We get so consumed with seeking after the things of this world, the pointless trivialities, that we forget that we are to seek your kingdom. Father, we pray that you would help us get our priorities straight, that you would help us understand who you are more, that you would drive in us this desire to be signposts for your kingdom in our society. So, Father, as we head into this week, we pray, Lord, that our first priority might be your coming kingdom, your kingdom here on earth. And, Father, we pray that we would not fall off like so many New Year's resolutions, but you would bind in us your desires, your heart, that we might be the character of Christ. And we ask this in your Son's name. Amen. As the band comes up to lead us in another song, I want to encourage you, if you've made the New Year's resolution, to get out your phone. Phones have these wonderful things called calendars, and set a monthly reminder. How are you going? As a way of prodding us to know and seek God's kingdom more.